Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lynn S. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Tuesday, February the 23rd, 2021, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 39. We're reading the first paragraph, That May Be True. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Naomi B., the 12 Traditions, Audrey M.P., and readers of the text, Kara L., Mary G., and Shelley E. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, February the 22nd, the 10 a.m. meeting, 16450, and this morning, Tuesday, February 23rd, the 7 a.m. meeting, 16454. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery to the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Naomi B. to read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Naomi.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for your service. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. 12 steps. 1. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this month, and I pass.
Thank you, Naomi B. And Audrey M.P. is going to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Audrey.
Thank you, Lynn S., and thank you, Team Tuesday. My name is Audrey M.P. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater in Southern California, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems, of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Audrey M.P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that the sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we're resuming our study of the Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 39. And we're reading that first paragraph, That May Be True. So, Kara L., could you start us off, please?
I'd be happy to. Hi, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. That may be true of certain non-alcoholic people who, though drinking foolishly and heavily at the present time, are able to stop or moderate because their brains and their bodies have not been damaged as ours were. But the actual or potential alcoholic, with hardly an exception, will be absolutely unable to stop drinking on the basis of self-knowledge. This is a point with which we wish to emphasize and re-emphasize, to smash home upon our alcoholic readers as it has been revealed to us out of bitter experience. Let us take another illustration. Good morning, my name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And I probably start this off every time with, oh, I love this paragraph, which I do. And that italics, it's in italics, absolutely unable to stop drinking on the basis of self-knowledge. You know, before this, we were just listening to, you know, somebody said, well, that sounds good. You know, I see what you guys are doing, but I don't identify in as so much. I'll be able to handle this, right? And then we're going to go into another example with Fred. And this is illustrating to us, you know, that, and to me, actually, this illustrates to me, though, even though other areas of my life might be fine, even though I probably could write a book on nutrition because I've done so much research and whatnot, even though I've done all these different things, self-knowledge never helped me. Never helped me. It never helped me in the morning when I woke up and promised to do better and then continued to compulsively eat until I was demoralized in the evening. And then the next morning I would wake up with the same promise, and it never helped me. Anytime I tried to figure it out, as one of my sponsors says, it never helped me. What helped me was working these steps. What helped me was studying the directions in this book. What helped me was finding a power greater than myself to do for me what I could not do for myself. I now know today that when I try to get more knowledge, when I try to figure it out, when I'm trying to do those things, I'm in self. And that will not help me. When I stop I put whatever's in front of me to my higher power and I rely on that higher power, then things just work out. It just happens. And I don't know and I can't explain why, but I do know today that my self-knowledge avails me nothing. And with all, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or on Friday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Alexa from New Jersey.
Liz S. Tessa from South Florida.
Okay, Bella, let me tell you who I did hear because I didn't hear anybody, okay? Everybody came in at once. All I got was Liz S. So could we try again, please? Kayla T.
Judy.
Okay, I got Kayla T. Okay.
Michelle F.
Michelle F. Yeah.
Judy.
Alexis
from South Florida.
I got Judy and Alexis.
Robin.
Tessa from South.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. Let me tell you our lineup, and I'm sorry, whoever I missed, I will get you on the next round. But I do have Liz S., Kayla T., Michelle F., Judy, Alexis, and Robin P. Liz S., could you start us off, please? Press star 1 to unmute, Liz.
Hi, it's Liz S. from New Hampshire. I just quickly turned back to Bill's story where he says, surely this was the answer, self-knowledge, but it was not, for the frightful day came when I drank once more. And what occurs to me in this paragraph is that this is a disease that I'm dealing with. What I know about it, anything I know about it, it's absolutely worthless, as it would be. I mean, if I had any disease, my self-knowledge about that disease is worthless. And the fact that he's so serious here, this is a point we wish to emphasize and reemphasize, to smash home upon our alcoholic readers. This is not going to work. What I know about compulsive eating, what I know about overeating, doesn't work. It's not about knowledge. It's about work. It's about, you know, this is a disease that is in my mind. So what I know in my, what my intellect is useless. My intellect has nothing to do with it. And it's such, I mean, Bill is so serious that I think maybe he's even speaking from his own experience that it's absolutely worthless, and it will get me nowhere trying to figure it out, trying to understand it. What can I do about it? Nothing. It's the intellect, you know, versus the mind, and the mind is what's going to drive me to eat. It doesn't matter what I know about my food plan or what I know about my abstinence, what I know about the disease. It's worthless. It's not going to work. And I think this paragraph is where he really tries to bring home that point, as he also does from his own experience back in his story. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz S. Kayla T., it's your turn. Please go ahead, Kayla.
Awesome. Thank you. This is Kayla T., recovering compulsive overeater in Golden Valley, Arizona. I had to share today. Oh, I'm getting emotional. That's funny. Like Kara was talking about, I actually am the figure it out girl. I don't even know how to put my words into, like, you know, my thoughts into words, but I just constantly would try to figure this out. You know, this isn't my first go around in Overeaters Anonymous, and I've had neutrality around food, and I've been in the steps, and I've been working with sponsees, and I've been doing all the things. And this, for me, is progressive and insidious. And I've just taken so much of these last few weeks about the whiskey and the milk story. You know, that idea that, you know, in step one, which is where I'm at again, thank God, I guess, you know. Not I guess, I'm grateful to be here again. That idea that I am doomed, right? And like the previous talk gal just talked about, I cannot stop my thoughts. And I cannot stop once I start. I cannot control any of that. No matter what I think I know, I will never be able, I'm doomed. I will never be able to control, moderate, manage, none of it. As much as I had maybe previously in the past, you know, been able to stop or moderate. This thing is so progressive, and it's debilitating. At least that's been my experience, you know, that part where it talks about bitter experience. I cannot even force it. My experience has been that even if I want it desperately, I cannot force that surrender to happen, even if I want it. I have to have that bitter experience. And that's God's work, right? Even though I want to take credit for that, even, you know, like, oh, it's my fault. Woe is me, hand to forehead. Like, I created this mess. No, this is all God's work. It is important for me to remember that, not to beat myself up, that every slip or everything that I've had, my experience is solely and primarily to benefit God's work so that I can reach somebody on a different level that I wasn't able to reach somebody before. So I'm just grateful that I'm in the flow of being of service again, that I'm open and willing, that I get to recover today. I am just honored. You know, I'm so grateful that I get to be here today. And feeling a little tiny bit of freedom from self, you know, and putting life is in session. Like, there's issues up in front of me, you know, and just like the whiskey and the milk thing, the whole thing I took away from that is if I have a rub, the slightest
time,
rub.
Please. I beg your pardon. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
No, that's my mistake. I pardon me.
Oh, okay. If I have the slightest of rub throughout the day, I have to be vigilant and bring it before God, because I will try to figure it out and I will try to fix it. And I will end up with face first in the food every time. So thank you for letting me share. That's it. Thanks, Kayla.
Pardon me, Kayla.
You're fine.
Okay. Michelle F., it's your turn, followed by Judy. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for your service. Yes, I wasn't sure what I was going to say, so hope this makes sense. Self-knowledge. I know a lot about myself. I know that I am stubborn. You can't tell me no. I was refused my own phone in my room when I was a teenager, and that didn't stop me from going to the hardware store, buying the equipment, and installing one myself. So why would I listen to myself in regards to my food addiction? The compulsion, the insanity is stronger than self-knowledge, you know, and I can't trust my own brain to even set up my food plan. I went to a food addiction nutritionist to help me with that, and I still have questions. You know, is this okay? Is that okay? And I know that a broken brain can't fix a broken brain, and I need a power greater than myself. And also, just, you know, the word self. The whole point of the recovery in this program is to hook us up, to connect us to humanity, to get us back out as functional members of society as an addict. I wholeheartedly do not want to do that. I want to isolate my little world and numb out all my feelings and protect myself. But that's selfish, and it's practicing my addiction. And unless I get tools with which to handle feelings and my interaction with the rest of the world, I'm going to run right back to what I know, all my addictions and isolating. So I need all of you. I need my higher power. I need this program in order to recover and stay recovered. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle F. And Judy, it's your turn, followed by Alexis. And Judy, could you give us the initial of your last name, please?
Good morning. My name is Judy S., as in Sam, from Wisconsin, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. You know, they started with that might be true of certain non-alcoholic people, but I have to remember that I am. And, you know, there's that line where it says, if you're not alcoholic, you are able to stop or moderate because your brains and bodies have not been damaged. Well, when I think about how I've damaged my brain and my body by compulsive overeating for 50 years from the age of 13 to 64, I'm damaged. I'm broken. And I have to accept that and admit that every day. And because of that, I'm powerless. And because of that, I'm powerless. I am unable to stop compulsively overeating with just what I know. And for years, for most of my life, I blamed myself for not being able to stop. What's wrong with me? And I'll never forget reading this two-paragraph little synopsis of a of a book that somebody wrote, and it was about, you know, allergies to sugar, and, you know, talked about just, you know, what goes on. And I remember reading the book and going, oh my gosh, it's not my fault. And then I got into OA like a month later, and it was such a relief to know that it's a disease, and that's why I'm unable to stop. It's that simple. And like any disease, what do I have to do? You know, the doctor gives me a prescription. Well, this book is a prescription to what I have to do. Do, 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 action, action, action to, arrest the disease one day at a time. And again, I have to every morning emphasize and reemphasize and smash home that I can't stop. I need a power greater than myself, and that this whole book is about establishing that relationship with a power. So I'm grateful that I've gotten to this point. For the first time in 8 years, I've been in OA 10 years, so the first time in 8 years, I'm going to be 90 days abstinent and recovered, and I'm sponsoring. And, you know, I have to remember not to let that fear get in there, to just know and believe that my higher power is guiding me in everything I think, say, and do. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy S. And Alexis, it's your turn, followed by Robin P. And Alexis, could we have the initial of your last name, please?
F as in Frank.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Alexis F. from New Jersey. I am is a very powerful statement. There are a lot of I ams that I'm discovering about myself. For someone who lost their identity for many years, including my identity as a compulsive overeater, it was very difficult to find out the things that I am and the things that I liked. I took it from other people, what they liked and what they did as to what I should do and what was expected of me in life from my family background. I had three older brothers, and they were powerful examples to me. And my compulsive overeating would have been much worse had it not been for the yo-yo syndrome going up and down. The only answer is, you know, like number one is surrendering to the fact that I have an obsession and a powerlessness over food. I remember when I was into eating Haagen-Dazs, like coming out of my ears, and my sponsor said to me, I'd like to wave a magic wand and take it away, but I don't have that kind of power, and nobody on this earth does, and only God does. You know, even the group as a whole doesn't have that kind of power. It's a power of the universe or a power of this earth or a power of creation, and I am the created. And I know that I can't do this on my own. I need help from the group, from God, from people as well as God. And we do it together. And may you find God now, as they say in the big book. In the writings of Bill, he talks about a power greater than yourself, which is God. May you find him now. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Alexis F. And Robin P., it's your turn. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your service and for everybody on this line. God bless everybody. You know, wow. Because their brains and bodies have not been as damaged as ours were. You know, I came into this program, I've been anorexic, bulimic, compulsive overeater, and just, you know, it was Russian roulette. I never knew when that would happen. And I was absolutely unable to stop eating on the basis of self-knowledge. And I love that they say, we wish to emphasize and reemphasize, to smash home. It's so important, this point, that this is a disease of the mind and the body, that mental obsession combined with the physical allergy, you know, and how insidious it is. You know, I'm so grateful I've been abstinent for 5 years, and I'm a gluten-free vegan, and I'm a conscious vegan. It's really important to me. But before I was recovered, that I didn't have any morals about my food, for me, for what felt right for my body and my mind and body, and it was just Russian roulette, and it's such a miracle and a blessing to be able to eat the way I want to eat and eat what feels right for me. And, you know, we went to a church function last night. They were showing this film, and it was a pizza night. And, you know, that's not anything that works for me. And, you know, it flashed through my mind. Oh, you know, you could take the cheese off and just have the pizza part. You know, it's like, but that's gluten, you know. And it was just, it's just how I just get to watch, wow, the disease is so insidious. And it just acts like such an innocuous idea. Hey, you could. It's like, no, that's not right for me. And I'm so grateful for my abstinence and recovery today that I get to eat the way that I feel like it's the right way for me to eat. And it's such a blessing that my meals are my meals, and they're just my meals, and they're not supposed to fill me up emotionally, spiritually, you know, and fill that God hole, that they're my sustenance and my medicine for my body, but not to fill my God hole, and not to be my God, because now I know enough to go to God and to go to my fellows instead of going to the food to fill that heart, that place in my heart. God bless everybody. It's a very blessed afternoon day, and thanks. I'm so grateful I got to share.
Thank you, Robin P. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later this morning, we're continuing our study of the big book in the chapter More About Alcoholism. On page 39, the first paragraph, that may be true. And the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or Friday, please step back and let others have a turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Yvonne C.
Tessa Q.
Diane,
from South Florida.
Diane. Wendy B.
Okay, I heard. Thank you. I heard Yvonne, Tessa, and Wendy. Who did I miss, please?
Diane N. from Atlanta.
Karen C.
Okay, let me tell you who I've got and see if I missed anybody. I have Yvonne, Tessa, Wendy B., Diane N., Karen C. Did I miss anybody? No? Okay, great. Yvonne, could you start us off, please? And can I have the initial of your last name?
Yes, it's Yvonne C. from New York.
Welcome.
Thank you very much for your service. And this is the very first time I'm talking on this phone, and I don't know what to say, but I know I just have to speak and for myself and for others that I have cheated through my mind, thinking it knew what it's knowing better. This disease, which is so insidious and so progressive, I've kept with my shame, have kept myself away from a program that 25 years ago I found and knew it was the best thing I ever found, but because of family, friends, and this disease of mind over, you know, the path to God, I deprived myself of a program that was the solution. And now I'm fighting to come back. I've just, you know, I'm fighting for my life and trying to get my abstinence. I just, the words of this paragraph are so profound of how I cheated myself all these years of the freedom I could have had because of my shame and my mental giving my mind and its workings and its insanity its way. And I want to thank the words here of the recovered and the unrecovered people who are helping me every day. And thank you so much for helping me get back on my path. I may be sad about what I've deprived myself of, but at least I know maybe before I leave this earth, I can have some peace and serenity. Thank you so very much for all of you. You're all God's instruments to me and part of my higher power thinking. Thank you.
Thank you, Yvonne C. Tessa, it's your turn, followed by Wendy B. And can we have the initial of your last name, please, Tessa?
Hi, I'm Tessa Q. from South Florida, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, moderator. Thank you so much. I don't think I realized, I've been going to meetings, but I haven't shared, and I don't think I realized how much I really needed to pour my heart out. So I'm glad you heard me, and I'm glad for everyone who shared this morning. I do envy those who moderate. I remember early on in my recovery sitting across from people eating XYZ, and they would stop halfway through, and they would say, oh, I'm full. And I would look at them like they had three heads. I'm hardly an exception. Self-knowledge availed me absolutely nothing. Except, and I'm going to get to that in 2 seconds. I was sitting with a sponsor one time many years ago, and they asked me, with what part of your compulsive overeating brain that you're pouring red light foods into your body, are you going to think your way abstinent? I just can't. I can't think my way abstinent. I can act my way abstinent. And I can, as a recovered woman, as a person who's active in recovery, attending meetings, sponsoring people, doing service, I can use my self-knowledge of my disease, not of nutrition, not of abstinence, not of sobriety, not of what my body should or shouldn't look like. I can use my knowledge of my disease, and I just want to share that because 2.5 weeks ago, the biggest threat to my food neutrality passed away unexpectedly, and I'm grieving. And it's a very confusing, difficult time for me. It was a very confusing, difficult relationship with my mother. And I'm just incredibly grateful that I know when I'm grieving and my disease is pinging away, making suggestions, offering alternatives, And I'm really not interested today in hurting my body anymore. I'm not interested in abusing myself anymore. And I can use that self-knowledge to acknowledge that my disease is activated, right? That I don't have food neutrality, but I have my abstinence, and I no longer have to hurt myself. And I can use that to remind myself, oh, there's vision at 7 a.m. There's another call and another fellowship at 8. There's vision again at 10 a.m. They're going to read the book. There's recordings. I can use that self-knowledge of my disease to navigate a time of deep and intense and confusing grief and keep my abstinence. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Tessa Q. Wendy B., it's your turn, followed by Diane. And good morning, Wendy.
Hi, this is Wendy. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Hi, this is Wendy, actually Wendy PB from Chicago, Illinois. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. That's the first time I got to say that, so yay. When I think about self-knowledge, what self-knowledge gets me is the thought that I can figure out how to fix it, that I know how to control it, to diet, the illusion that because I lost X amount of pounds on X diet that I've solved my problem, that I can decide what kind of program I'm going to follow, what parts of the program I'm going to follow. My self-knowledge avails me nothing. if what I'm looking for is recovery from this disease, is a spiritual experience, is the promises that this program offers, then that's not going to work. I don't get to decide how this works. My best thinking got me here. What I need to do is surrender to this process. When I first came in the room, the first person that I talked to, I asked her, is it going to be better on the other side? Because I could not imagine my life without my alcoholic foods. And I'm here to, and she said, absolutely, it's going to be better than anything you can imagine, or something along those lines. And I'm here to echo that and say, it's better than anything I can imagine, as long as I am willing to give up the idea that I have my own answers. I will never have my own answers. My answers are here in these rooms with you wonderful people, and in working the work. And that's all I have to share. I am very grateful to be here today. Take care. Okay.
Thank you, Wendy PB. Diane N., it's your turn, followed by Karen C. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Diane N. I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater from Metro Atlanta, Georgia. I'm out walking, so you might hear cars passing by. I hope you can hear me. I'm so grateful for this opportunity and for this topic. Oh, my goodness. As I was listening, and I've been in program for a while, and I was thinking about all the things I've done, you know, listening to myself, you know, self-knowledge. I'm smart. I know it all. I even remember, I was thinking what I used to do differently from what I'm doing now. I don't know how many times, I guess it's just insanity. I know insanity is doing the same thing over and over, but expecting a different result. So I'd listen to myself and I tell myself that it's going to work this time. Never mind, it didn't work the other 99 times, but it's going to work this time. You know, I can eat this food. It's going to work, and this is how I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do something different, which ends up being the same thing and always led to pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization, led me back to the food. And I used to think I was so smart because, well, first of all, I had a little sign that I went to an OA convention years ago, and I got this little sign I used to keep in my refrigerator, and it says, I'm not allowed in my head without adult supervision. So now I listen, I know now, But years ago, I used to just say, you know, I'm going to call my sponsor, because they used to tell us, call the sponsor before you eat. I would call her after I eat, after eating, because I'm so smart, right? I knew she would probably try to talk me out of it. But today, that adult supervision is my sponsor. Today, I don't have to eat the way I've been eating for years, over a year now, even doing, which as you, if you think about it, that's the entire time of the pandemic. You know, my higher power has just worked such a miracle. When I started focusing on the steps, when I started working the steps, following directions, showing up for my assignment from my higher power, which is to work these steps, which is to live in steps 10, 11, and 12 every single day. I don't think I understood that you work the steps and then you go back and you work them again. It's endless. And I keep doing that day after day, month after month, and all these 365 days. So today, I thank you so much for letting me share. Thank you for this opportunity. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Diane N. And Karen C., it's your turn. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. This is Karen T., as in Thomas, calling in from Louisiana. And I love all the shares about how self-knowledge avails us nothing. I wanted to talk about a different part of the paragraph, just for diversity's sake. Certain non-alcoholic people who, though drinking foolishly and heavily at the present, are able to stop or moderate because their brains and bodies have not been damaged as ours were. Not every overweight person is compulsive overeater. Not every underweight person has this disease, but there are some of us that are. And so when I go in, and that's true of OA in general, when I go into an OA meeting, not everyone is has this disease that's in OA. There are some people in OA who can diet with group support. And that's great and that's fine, but I have to remember that my body and brain have been damaged. And I am absolutely unable to stop overeating on the basis of self-knowledge. So that is what I have to remember and smash home upon me, because I have had bitter experience about that. But that is the truth, that for me, self-knowledge avails me nothing, and I have to have this higher power. Self-reliance is actually a liability. I've heard it said many times, you can be too smart for OA, but you can't be too simple-minded because it's a simple program. And so I have to be careful when I'm trying to analyze and figure something out, that it will not keep me away from the food. What will keep me away from the food is, again, turning to my higher power. Again, taking steps 1, 2, and 3. Again, clearing away the wreckage of my past. Again, help mending my relationships with amends and living amends. And again, reaching out for conscious contact with my higher power and enlarging my spiritual life. And it's a logic problem that doesn't make sense. If I go towards God, my food will be taken care of. It just doesn't sound logical. But my prescription for this disease is working the steps and following the directions in this book. And other people have said that as well today. But I just want to say it again for myself. Thank you. And maybe hearing it again will help someone out there. So I just want to acknowledge my higher power and solve all my problems today. And trying to run the show and being the director
Time, please.
Will not solve my problems today. And thank you so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Karen T. We have time for 2 more 3-minute shares. Who would like that time?
Diane P.
Susie F.
Diane P. Sorry, I just missed the last name. What was that?
Don. Don.
There was somebody before you, Don. I heard Diane P., and then there was another lady I missed.
Susie F. in North Carolina, newcomer.
Okay, thank you. So I've got Diane P., Susie F., and Don. Let's see how we do time-wise. If everybody does 2 minutes, we should all fit in. So Diane P., please go ahead. Press star 1 to unmute. Diane P. Okay, let's move to Susie F. Susie, please go ahead.
Hi. I don't have much to share being new. I don't even have a sponsor yet. I'm looking for the right sponsor that really clicks with my personality and somebody really patient. But that part about self-knowledge got to me because just yesterday I thought I had 1, 2, and 3 down because I've done recovery and Al-Anon and I think I have a little basic knowledge of the steps, and I was already thinking ahead into step 4, figuring things out about me. And I wanted to thank y'all for this message because I can be too smart for my own good, and I get ahead of myself. Anyway, I'm going to pass with that.
Okay, thank you, Susie F., and please stay till the end of the meeting for our newcomer greeter. All right, let's try Diane P. again. Diane, please go ahead. Press star 1 to unmute, Diane.
I think that was Darlette P. by chance.
Okay. Sure, whoever. We'll take anybody P right now. Thanks, Darla.
Okay. I'm Darlette P., a grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you to all doing service this morning. And I want to say I'm so grateful today for this program, for the big book, for fellowship. And I know that today my self-knowledge brings me to awareness, and the self-knowledge that damaged me was the stuff that I stuffed with my food. I stuffed my feelings with my food, and I had to work this program, take things into action to get those feelings to come to the surface. And I realized that it's true, I can't work this program without God. And God is my higher power. And I have also realized with my self-knowledge, that's not a good self-knowledge. I mean, it's a good self-knowledge to know, but I wallowed in a lot of self-pity isolated myself, and that was not healthy for me, and it wasn't healthy for anybody else. And because of my self-pity, I would get angry at people because things didn't go my way. And life isn't my way anymore today. It's God's way. God is in control. He's always been in control. But over the years and with my food obsession and the food fog, I lost that idea that God is in control and I just have to accept what is and not what I want it to be. So I know today that when I get in the I want, I'm in trouble because that means I'm in control and not God. And I have to watch out for that. It's deadly for me. It will take me right back into my food obsession. And this is a deadly disease, and I'm not ready to die. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Darla P. Dawn, we're almost out of time. There is time for a one-minute share. Would you like that?
Yes. Thank you. This
okay,
is Don,
Don
E. as an echo. Hi, this is Don E. As an echo. I daily reflect on step one, and I go through a checklist of humility regarding my hopelessness and my need for higher power, and checking to stop being prideful and in control. I follow that with a glory statement to my higher power. And then I list my personal prayers for the day. And of course, I thank God every day for those times when I met the challenges by reflecting on God's power instead of my own will. And thank you very much for the meeting. And the big book is truly a Bible, I think, for all of us as we reflect on these readings from the big book. Thank you. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Donnie. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Tuesday. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Mary G., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, this is Mary G., recovered compulsive overeater in Arizona. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationships with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.